This is Jay Widener. Now, in case you missed a little bit of the hour with Jay, let me tell you a little bit about this. In the late 1980s, Jay became interested in that enigmatic cross that sits in the churchyard in a town south of France called Hendaye. This nearly 400-year-old cross was mentioned in a curious book first published in Paris in 1926 called Mysteries of the Cathedrals, written by an anonymous gentleman who called himself Fulcanelli. This book, Mysteries of the Cathedrals, became Jay's guidebook for understanding the cross at Hendaye. Now, after repeated readings and contemplation, it seemed to Jay that what Fulcanelli is saying in this book is that the cross in Hendaye, France, reveals the knowledge at the end of an age and the true destiny of humanity. Jay, how did these past civilizations, how did they understand and have this extraordinary knowledge concerning planetary mechanics and other very deep spiritual principles? How did they know this when we're just learning things now?
Well, that goes to having to understand the four cycles of time. And when you understand that about 6,500 years ago, we came into the Iron Age. You know, Bishop Usher tried to prove that the world only started 6,500 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that still believe that. You're right.
Well, in a way, that's true, because this age started 6,500 years ago. You know, J.R.R. Tolkien dates the events of Lord of the Rings at about 6,500 years ago also. And that's really what the story of Lord of the Rings is about. It's about the end of one age, which is ruled by the elves and the wizards, and the beginning of the age of men, ruled by Aragorn. And that is, in fact, strangely close to the truth as I see it, and as many traditional cultures have seen it. And so 6,500 years ago, we fell into this age, and we lost some of our abilities to cognize the world. So in Lord of the Rings, the elves were too sensitive to live here anymore, and so they're leaving this realm of existence, which is Middle World, which again is an excellent description of higher dimensional physics, the Middle Earth and the Upper Earth and the Lower Earth. But so that's what it is that our knowledge was more clear. We were different 6,500 years ago, 10,000 years ago, even further back, we were different people. We had different abilities. We were able to move stone three stories high and up in the Andes Mountains and fit it together in Bolivia into astonishing constructs where you can't put a razor blade between the stones that still exist, even though there's been earthquakes at 9 points on the Richter scale hundreds of times in these areas, and these buildings still stand, the same with the pyramids. And everything about that culture was so different than ours that all we have is the residual knowledge that they left behind in stone monuments. And again, that's why they left them behind in stone, was because they knew that the age, the dark age, was coming, and they needed to place their knowledge in stone so that people, curious people of our age, the age of endarkenment, as I call it, would seek it out and find that this age will end and a new age will begin, that where this knowledge will be acceptable. And I think the internet and this show, frankly, and a lot of other things that are going on today are proof of this. There's I call it a viral meme that has escaped, and it's out and it's everywhere. And when I was a young man, I was led into a rich man's library, and he had thousands and thousands of books, and he allowed me to read them.
And I bet it was the kind of library that had the ladder that you climbed up.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love those.
Well, I did too. I spent years in this library. And I tell you right now, I can get 80% of that information on the web. information that was only allowed.
That's true. No, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, the web and the internet have made information so much accessible now that years ago, even when we would do talk shows, Jay, we would have newspaper clippings and notes. And I mean, it was a mess. We'd walk in there and do shows with paper scattered everywhere. Now you can sit down at the internet and do a great job of show prep and go in there with a nice packet of information and have it all.
I wish I had the net when I was in my radio days.
Ah, yes.
But, what's happening now, I think, especially in the next 7 years, is, as my old friend Terrence McKenna used to say, the best argument will win. And so an argument or a discussion or a dialectic is occurring right now on a worldwide scale over the web and over shows like this, and I think that's why this show is so popular. And I think this dialectic is an argument, and the ones who have the best argument, the ones who evidence comes out in the end to be right, will convince the rest of them the right road. And of course, the keepers of the light know this and are releasing information right now, incredibly important information. I think that the IAPITUS information is astonishing. I think that there's a lot of things that are breaking right now that are jaw-dropping, and we should all be mindful of this, extremely mindful of what is breaking and what is going on, life on Mars, and the whole thing is our view of the universe is being changed radically right in front of our eyes, and I think that this gives fuel to a lot of the traditionalist religions who are afraid of this information, but I say to them that your religions are also speaking about these same things, and you shouldn't be afraid of it. You should embrace what's going on, because in the end, you know, I think that Christianity and Judaism and Islam and Buddhism and all of the isms are going to be better off for what's about to happen. I think that people will actually return and realize that these religions and these belief systems are incredibly profound, and that what they're saying is incredibly profound. And Volcanelli was probably a Christian, and this group is probably nominally a Christian group, the Keepers of the Light. And I believe that science and everything is coming full circle, and almost a new alchemy is being created in front of our eyes, an alchemy which is holistic and embraces all things that appear to be not in concert with each other, and we can entwine them and reweave the fabric and make everything groove together in a kind of a single modality. And I think that's what's going on right now. So all of this chaos that we see around us right now is really just a kind of a reformation of a worldwide belief system that is about to emerge.
Terrence McKenna, of course, was very influenced by so many things that he was able to, I think, spend himself years ahead of time. But he not only was a prolific writer and really, as you well know, dove deep into things that you're talking about right now. He was a believer in UFOs, angels, and other things, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and I am too. And what these are hyperdimensional effects in this world. And Terrence, right before he passed away, was on to some extremely profound information, of which I have been grateful enough to receive and go on. Terrence is really the one who pointed out to me that the Cross of Hende could be talking about the eclipse of the center of the galaxy in 2012, and this was 12 years ago.
My gosh,
he told me, and actually put me on the path of looking into that. So I owe a lot to him, and I believe he read my book, my first book, right before he passed away. Unfortunately, it was too late to find out exactly what he thought of it. But be that as it may,
I'm sure you did him proud, Jay.
I think it probably did, because he had a great influence on me, on John Major Jenkins, and a lot of other people who are now spending these last few years of this Yuga, or the Iron Age, really unfolding what Terrence and a lot of other brave people started.
Did these mysteries ever talk about how the stones, for example, of the pyramids, not only in South America but in Egypt, were moved? You mentioned it. I think you and I are on the same wavelength on that, Jay. There's something very special and magical about what they did. But do these messages, do they say how this might have happened?
Well, that's a really good question. Right now, I'm involved in some research looking into how to literally lift stones that are, you know, 20 or 30 tons, and it appears that it's entirely possible and easy to do once you understand the hyperdimensional effects and how you can change dimensional modalities here in the third dimension.
Wow, you sound like our dear friend Richard C. Hoagland, who would be jumping up and down right now, going, yes, right on.
Well, there's a amazing scientist named Maurice Allais who studied eclipses and the gravitational anomalies during eclipses. And there'll be more coming in on this work over the next few weeks as the eclipse is occurring this weekend, and a lot of scientists, including me, are going out and looking at what's about to happen and see if we can measure the effects. But let me put it to you this way. In alchemy, when you move the sacred stones, it's not only about what you're doing, it's about the time that you're doing it. It's very important. You can only do these things at certain times.
That's true. No, there's probably a planetary reason for that, isn't there?
Yeah, it has to do with these nodal effects of planets and stars and how they go around. Astrology was one of the sacred sciences of this previous civilization, and while it's been reduced to, you know, daily newspaper columns now, once it was an extremely profound science, and alchemists had to know their astrology thoroughly before they could perform their experiments. And I refer you to an article I wrote on my site about Stanley Kubrick in 2001. All of the events that happen in the film 2001 are preceded by an eclipse. And it's very subtle, but once you understand that, then you understand that even Kubrick and possibly Arthur C. Clarke know about what this science, this ancient science, really entailed.
We're going to get a full report, by the way, Friday from Richard C. Hoagland, as long as his flight permits, on the Coral Castle and the eclipse and what all this means as well. You've heard of Edward Leed Skolnin, and he's no longer with us anymore, but I'm convinced, as so many others, that he was able to move these huge stones down by Coral Castle in Florida, much like the Egyptians, I think, moved those blocks.
Well, I believe that you're absolutely right. In fact, I'm helping Richard on that research. And
excellent.
We're going to have a full report and probably a film sometime in a year or so on all of this. It's all really about what's happening in 2012. And once we can get the physics out to reveal to people what's going on in 2012, they'll understand the import of why that date is so important to the ancient Mayans, the ancient Peruvians, the ancient Egyptians, the alchemists, and the Tibetans. And it is it's one of the major turning points in our history, and so it's very important. In fact, I'm having a conference up in Seattle on 2012 in September with several people, including John Major Jenkins and Richard Hoagland and Jaime Masson and others.
Why is it that the ancients, specifically let's talk about the Mayans for a moment, why did they pick the year 2012, in your opinion, Jay? I mean, was it just picked out at random, or is there really something about that date? That year.
Oh no, it's a profound the center of the galaxy rising helically on the winter solstice is a profound event in understanding how the four ages evolve. And the thing is that you have to remember is that a lot of astrologers have trouble predicting when the age of Aquarius begins, but if you take the cross of Hendaye and what it's telling you, then you know that it's the galactic eclipse or the galactic line that defines your center axle point of your zodiac. So the Scorpio to Taurus line is the center axis line, and when we go at right angles to that line, we're either in Leo or Aquarius, and every 13,000 years this happens, and every 26,000 years we start the cycle over. Interestingly enough, there have been anthropologists have studied samples of Cro-Magnon men and their fires and samples, and basically Cro-Magnon man, of which we are, emerged about 26,000 years ago, or one processional cycle ago. So life itself, just like in Lord of the Rings, life itself is transformed at these four great cusps of the 26,000-year procession of the equinoxes, of which the four ages are clearly defined in Ezekiel and in John's Apocalypse. And I believe that even Jesus was warning us about this time period and preparing us to get ready for this period. I think it's in just the fact that he was crucified on a cross, and it's the great cross in the sky that will tell us the time, is indicating to me that possibly Jesus was a member of a society, a Kabbalic society within the Jewish community at the time he lived, and he knew all of the great secrets that had been handed down from Egypt through Moses into Jerusalem by the Jews.
Might it still be the same group that Falconelli was associated with?
I think absolutely. There can be no doubt. I think it's the same group. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
And these people now, we talked about that they're up in age. Would you guess that primarily they're European, they're in the Middle East, any in this country?
Well, I think there are people in this country, but yeah, they're mostly European. Perhaps you know the famous story of the crisis during the Constitutional Convention in 1789, and a huge fight was breaking out among all of the people in the Constitutional Convention over slavery, and the South was beginning to pull out and say they just wanted to separate from the Union and not have a Union. Well, there's a strange European gentleman who attended up in the gallery every day, and during the middle of this fight, he finally stood up and he delivered a 10-minute speech that just flat knocked down everybody in the room about why it was important for America to stay united, and then he walked out of the room, never to be seen again. So these figures crop up in and out of history right at the right time to prevent catastrophe or to make sure that something happens. Or it's really very interesting. And I'm not alone in this. There's a lot of artists and historians and scientists who wonder about the strange synchronicities that have happened, that have allowed certain knowledges and certain events to take place or not take place.
Do you think these people have, like, the Ark of the Covenant hidden away somewhere?
I do. I think, I don't know if they have it now. I think that they had the Ark of the Covenant. I think it may be missing now. I think that the Germans may have recovered the Ark of the Covenant.
And destroyed it, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. I know that Hitler went to the Cross of Hende in 1940, visited on a train trip to Hende, also went all the way through southern France, even though he was in the middle of a war, and spent 2 weeks just dawdling around south of France, going to every single important site, the home of Nostradamus, Rennes-les-Châteaux, Montségur, Hende. So, you know, it's very interesting to see who's involved and who isn't and who's trying to find out what's going on, etc.
Well, I got to tell you, Jay, your work and research on this has been just superb. You've put this all in, what, a DVD fashion?
Yeah, I have a DVD out called Secrets of Alchemy, The Great Cross at the End of Time. I believe it's on your site. You can get it at Amazon or at my site at sacredmysteries.com.
Very good. When we come back, let's go through some of the images that you sent us about the cross at Hende. If those of you have a computer, you might want to just go to the second image page that you'll see right there under the feature articles. And if you don't have a computer, well, we will verbally illustrate what we're looking at, just so you won't be left out. I'm George Norrie, back in just seconds on Coast to Coast AM.